Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Uniting Melba and broadcast through the Community Radio Network. It's always a pleasure to bring you through their stories, life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. Hello, Rob Greaves here, and thanks for joining me for part two, the final part of the story of John Skriniar. Born in Austria in 1931, the country was still suffering from the effects of the Great Depression, so it was no surprise that John and many others joined the Hitler Youth when Germany invaded his country, because it gave the family access to benefits not normally available. John's education was poor due to his school being bombed and only having one teacher for 100 pupils. At war's end, and after some time, John eventually finds work and gains enough skills to be able to migrate to Australia to work on the Snowy Mountain Scheme. In this program, we learn more about John, his work on the hydro scheme, and how he was blown up in a mining accident. We also learn of the circumstances that led him to consider emigrating to work in the heavily apartheid South Africa, and how he was saved from this by meeting Linda, whom he marries. His story follows his marriage and his move with Linda to Melbourne, where now they see out their retirement years in the very quiet outer eastern Melbourne town of Wooreyallic. We pick up now with John talking about going to the South African Embassy in Canberra to apply to enter South Africa to work.
There were three of us. We went down to the South African Embassy in Canberra and get a visa, you know. And the ambassador, he was a nice man. He said, you know what you're doing? Oh, want to go to South Africa? We got a job there? All right, he said. You look at the black person, you get a warning. You talk at the black person 3 months. You have a relationship with the black person 6 months to 6 years.
Oh, goodness me.
I said, what? We is the apartheid, you know?
Oh, of course.
And he said, tell you something, go away for a week somewhere, then think it over, come back. If you want to go, visa be ready for you. I went to Sydney, guess who I met?
Your wife. Now, for people listening, your wife's name is?
Linda.
You met Linda?
Yeah.
How did that happen? How did you meet?
Well, I came down to Sydney to my brother's place. He was living there. And he left me a note. I met her parents. Oh, well, I went there and went down. And my brother's name was Charlie. Knocked on the door, said, her mother came out. She's Charlie here. She slammed the door. Now Charlie here. And oh, well. And the guy walked up after the driver and she came running after. She said, your brother Charlie? I said, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. But he left in the meantime, I came here, you know. Then what I'm looking for, oh, come in, come in. And she just got out of bed, curlers in her hair. And her mother said, if you want to go out to Samaria, she said, oh, well, I said, I find it. And she said, oh, Linda can show you where to go.
Right.
And the way we met.
So, how long after you met Linda did you think to yourself, this is the woman I want to marry?
Yes.
Did that take a while or was it short?
No, it was about a couple of weeks. I forgot about South Africa.
So oh, obviously, yes.
I forgot about South Africa. My three mates went. One came back, Peter. He came back and the other two, I don't know what happened to them.
Probably if you think back now to that time, it was probably the best that you didn't go because...
It was the best, I think.
Yes. It got very nasty there, didn't it?
I would have finished up in jail and then be deported or something, you know.
Yes, yes. And instead, you met the love of your life.
Yeah.
So was it almost immediate that you started going out socially together?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, what did you and Linda used to do?
I went back to the Snowy.
Well, that's what I was wondering. So yeah, you were back, apart for a while.
Yeah, I went back to the Snowy and got a job back. And And then the weekend that drove down.
Back down to Sydney?
300 kilometres to Sydney.
Right.
And we got engaged, and 6 weeks later we got married.
Goodness.
Yeah, goodness was quick.
Well, so you were both very obviously not only in love, but sure.
Yeah,
sure.
For
each other.
Yeah.
Given your mother-in-law slammed the door in your face basically when you first went there, once she understood that you were a couple, did she accept you into the family?
Oh, yeah, they accepted me. Because they were German too, you know.
Yes.
Linda's German. And they accepted me into a family, and there was no trouble there.
Right.
Yeah.
What did you and Linda do when you were going out socially? Did you go to dances or pictures, or what did you do as a couple?
Oh, we went out to German club.
Of course.
At the King's Cross in the clubs.
Which was really a very active place in that period, wasn't it, in the 60s, King's Cross?
A very safe place to go, not today anymore.
But it was a very alive place, wasn't
alive,
it?
Alive,
it really was a very alive place.
The only place which you could get something to eat after 10 o'clock at night.
That's right, because in those days everything shut up at 6 o'clock, didn't it? It closed.
First time I came to Sydney, and at 7 o'clock at night, you know Sydney George Street?
Oh, yes.
There was no car in there.
My goodness me, that's one of the busiest streets in Australia.
There was no car inside.
Gosh, and you must have wondered what was going on.
Oh. And you couldn't buy anything.
No.
Nothing, not even a cigarette, and the only meal you could get was up at the King's Cross, and they made heaps of money.
Yes. Yeah.
It was terrible, but it slowly changed, all of a sudden, you know, the pubs opened at 10 o'clock, and cafes and restaurants went up, especially in Cooma, you know, where all the nationalities were. There was restaurants, nightclubs, you name it was all there. In Cooma.
So when you and Linda got married, did that stop you working at the Snowy? Is that when you finished?
No.
There? No, you
no,
still continued working there?
She got a flat in Cooma, and
right.
They'd come home every second day.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we had a car accident. She was knocked unconscious for a week.
Goodness me, that's pretty serious.
Took her to Sydney, but the doctor told me that she'd be awake at it's just the bruising, you said, on the brain.
It must have been a very worrying time for
it
you.
It was a worrying time. And then she got come out of hospital, got better. Well, she said, go back to Cooma. She wants to go back to Cooma.
Yeah. Oh. You like Cooma, did you, Linda? Yeah.
We went back to Cooma. I got a job back in the tunnel. The whole of it was only a couple of months or a year or something after the accident.
Yeah.
Then I had a bad accident. I got blown up in the tunnel.
Oh, goodness me.
See, when the shift before us, they didn't... One detonator didn't explode.
And nobody noticed?
No. And when we come in, we put the thing in and start to drill new holes.
Oh, no.
And one of the drills hit the detonator. And boom. I got both legs broken and one arm broken. My offside of what with me got both legs cut off.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
And that could have been you.
Could have been me, but he was standing in front of me. And he jumped out of the window after a couple of years.
So that must have laid you up for quite a while, two
six
broken
months.
Legs. 6 months in hospital.
In Sydney Penrith Hospital.
And was Linda still in Cooma, or did she come
no,
down
she
to Sydney?
No, she came left, to Sydney. We lived in my brother's place.
Right.
And after 6 months hospital, you know, I got about $15,000
compensation.
For everything, so.
But that really didn't compensate, did it? I mean, that's...
It didn't, not near with what I'm going so near.
Well, no, that's true. But on another level, that sort of... accident and the trauma and the pain and everything, does money really ever compensate properly?
No, it doesn't.
No.
Listen to Older Voices, where you hear stories from older people who chose to make Australia their home. I'm Rob Greaves and I'm talking with John Scrinier, and John is relating the tales of how he integrated into Australia and his working life.
So she was all right, I was all right. And bought a car and decided to go around to Australia, have a holiday, you know.
No children at this stage?
No, I've got no children, no. And we got to Melbourne on the ship to Tasmania. She got a job in the pub as a barmaid. I got a job at the Edsel factory. Mm. We worked there all along, 3 months.
Was this still in the 1960s or were we in the 1970s?
No, it was still in the 60s.
Still in the 60s. Because there was plenty of work then, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah, work was everywhere.
There was no work.
She got homesick. I'm going to go back to Sydney. People were going around Australia.
You know? Oh, gosh, you only just started.
All right, I said, let's go back. And we went back to Sydney and got there. Well, I said, now we're going to buy a house and we're not going anywhere anymore.
Mm.
Yeah, bought a house. And I got a job with Paul.
Paul, yes.
He's an allocating and taking orders for the cement trucks. And there I stayed for 28 years.
My goodness me. Well, number one, you must have been good at what you did. And number two, you must have enjoyed it because you can't stay in a job for 28 years.
I loved to work. When I retired, I had 206 days left.
Wow.
I called to work. I loved to work. It was nice people and one stage I was a union delegate.
Good for you.
And I really loved it.
I can see that. As you were talking about it, you had this big smile on your face. Yeah. Lots of great memories. And
lots of.
So during this time, this is when you had your family?
We had one son.
One son?
Yeah, it took us 30 years. 13 years.
30? No, not 30. No, that would be trying. But that must have been a very magic moment for you, having tried so hard to suddenly have a son.
It was, yeah.
Yes.
I was 45 or something. Mm. Jesus, a bit late in life, you know.
Well, it is.
It is. You can't kick a football with him anymore.
You missed out on something.
And you missed out and I said, no more. That's the only one, no more second one, because I'm getting too old.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it must have been hard on Linda as well. I mean, you know, without putting too fine a point on it, she's not that much younger than you.
Oh, yeah, 14 years.
She was 14 years younger?
14.
Okay, so it wasn't as stressful for her as it was for you.
Yeah.
How did you feel about it, Linda? Were you?
I was a shock to her system after being married 13 years.
So it was a surprise, was it?
Yeah.
Was it a wonderful surprise for you?
Yes.
I can see that. You've got a smile too.
Yeah.
Yeah, a very joyous moment.
Yeah.
How did your mum and dad feel about it, being grandparents?
This was another thing. Her parents broke up.
That happens.
That late in life, you know, they were.
But that's a bit sad in that late in life.
They broke up, and he was born when they broke up.
Well, that's sad for him, them not getting having the grandchild and him not having the grandparents.
So moved away. Well, you never really had any grandparents. I had a grandfather. After a while, I didn't get along with them, her father.
Well, as I said, people come together for good reasons, but not everybody can stay together. People grow apart as well as growing together.
Yeah.
We're still together.
Well, you are still together. How long have you been married now?
55.
That is a brilliant innings. That's wonderful, isn't it? I mean, where does it all go indeed? Okay, but there's still many more years having had your son. Life didn't just suddenly end.
Oh, no. Oh, it ended.
How did
it end? We lost a lot of friends because we couldn't go out.
Okay, because your friends have had children and they've grown up and they're doing things.
They've grown up here and we went out together and parties, but now we had a baby there. She was a nervous wreck.
Right.
We went out, I think, once at New Year's Eve. My brother came down from Queensland. We were there half an hour and said, oh, I want to go home. And her sister was Amanda, baby, you know.
So what's your son's name?
Jason.
Jason.
Yeah, he lives in Mount Evelyn.
Right.
That's why we're here.
That's why you're here in Wordy.
We lived in Sydney.
Okay, there's still some stories, I bet, between getting here and you've got your child. How long did you stay in Sydney with Jason? Was it very long?
24. Well, we're here.
It had to be for a while because you worked for 28 years for Boral.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is our 13th year down here.
Right.
He married the girl from Yarra Trunkin.
Kelly.
Yeah. Kelly. Is that why you came to Melbourne, because of that?
That's why. We only had one son and two kids, that's all. And
so how did you find out that Jason was getting married?
He lived at home.
Oh, okay. He lived at home.
He never knew what's mean being bored.
most sons and daughters don't. He wasn't alone. We all had that experience, believe me.
Have you?
Oh, yes. Exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, living at home, but no bored. Nah. It's just the way life became.
As long as they grow up decent.
Exactly. So you left Boral, you retired from Boral, and then you came to Melbourne, is that correct?
Oh, how many years after?
3 years.
3 years.
And you've tuned into Listen to Older Voices. Turning Back Time. Turning Back Time. Turning Back Time. Turning Back Time. Turning Back Time.
There was another story.
Please.
Kelly's parents, they came from here, they moved back down here.
Right.
And she wanted to move down here too. And
so he met Kelly in Sydney, did he?
He met Kelly, yeah, they were living in Sydney.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Yes.
And they had a house up there, they wanted to sell it, but not quit enough sales. All right, I sell my house and I buy yours so you can go buy one down here. They put a house in Yarra Trunkin. And we bought his house, and we had it for
3 years.
3 years. Then we sold it and came down here.
Did you ever, especially for you, Linda, because you were so much in love with Sydney, was it really hard for you to move down to Melbourne? Or was it easier because of your son?
I loved it here.
What is it about living, for people who don't know Wurrialik, what is it about Wurrialik that you love?
Well, actually nothing.
Well, that spoils the story.
Now, it's actually in the wrong area. We couldn't make any friends here because all young people.
Okay.
They go out in the morning in the dark and come home in the dark. You don't see them.
So you felt pretty isolated then?
It is pretty isolated.
Yes.
And all young people, a couple of old ones over the other side. And it is really isolated, yeah.
Is that how you still feel now? Do you still feel isolated now?
Oh, just because you get used to it, you know.
Yeah, you, Linda, you said you loved it down here.
Yeah, but the community house. She's up there.
So you go and help out up there.
Busy help out up the community house. But you see the young people, what are they going to do with you old people?
Well, that's a problem that all of us who are now ageing face, isn't it?
Yeah,
and you know, you do get to a certain age and you no longer feel like you're part of what's going on around you because it's all young.
And besides that, I'm a very sick man now.
Is this just a result of the hard work you did, or?
I don't know what it is. I got prostate cancer in the spine.
When was that diagnosed?
12 months ago.
12 months ago. That must have been a shock for both of you.
It was, yeah.
Because we all like to think, we know we're getting older, but we all like to think that we've got a lot of years left and we're really fit and inside we still feel like we're young.
Mm.
But the body does break down, doesn't it?
Well, she can do almost anything, cut the grass and do the volunteer welcoming.
So do you mind if I ask you what the prognosis is? Is it something
I haven't got one. Nobody told me nothing.
Your doctor doesn't tell you anything? Do you ask?
Oh, they told me I got cancer. That's all.
And that's it?
That's it. One said, he was a German doctor from Berlin. His parents are here. He was nice. They give me their hormone injections, you know. Have you heard about it?
No, I haven't.
You get every 3 months a hormone injection in your belly. That's the new treatment they got. And
do you feel that that's working?
I don't know.
According to his blood test, yes.
That's what counts.
The blood test was, when I got diagnosed, was 130.
Right.
And when I got the first injection, it went back to 7.6.
Goodness, that's a huge drop.
And the doctor was really...
Okay, so well, that must give you a little bit of confidence.
They was really pleased, you know.
Yes.
And the back, this, how many photographs taken, he said, it's not pressing on any nerve or on the...
Thank goodness for
on
that.
On the thing is that there's nothing with the back. So if you got pain, well, it takes about 12 tablets a day.
Goodness.
And I had the radiotherapy.
Right.
I said, if it gets really bad, we have another session.
Another session of that.
Yeah. But with the prostate, they just wait what's happened.
But it sounds like it hasn't stopped you from working around your property. And as you said, you cut the lawn. What other things now that you are at the age that you're at that you can do that you enjoy?
Garden, I'm out in the garden most of the time. Yes.
Do you get out of the house very often?
I can drive a car.
She
can drive a car.
Right. So you're not housebound.
We just smashed it up. Mm. We just smashed the car up.
Oh dear.
I bought a new one. My son's picking it up today.
Accidents happen. Better the car get hurt than a person.
You see, I only drive from here to Lilida.
That's still a drive.
To my son's place. I don't go anywhere else.
Yes.
Because I don't know the city.
Right.
That good. And if I get lost, I panic.
Okay.
Yeah,
so better not to panic. Don't get lost.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Linda? Do you get out on your own? Well, you said you work at the local community house. Mm. Mm. Yes. Does that give you a lot of pleasure?
Yeah. It gets me to talk to other people too.
That's important, isn't it?
Mm.
It is. Mm. Have either of you ever felt isolated because of your nationalities?
No.
No, not really. No. Never felt that.
That's a good thing about this country, isn't it?
Well, when I came here, I told you about Fred.
First, yeah.
I told you about Freddie Mitchell.
Yes.
He was a lifelong friend.
Yes.
And no, never really. We came here and then there was... They moved out now. Kevin and whatever's her name?
Beryl.
Yeah, we're just getting...
Yeah.
Then ours is sort of good. Then they sold out.
That's the way it is, isn't it? Yeah. People come into our lives.
Oh, the other, you know, is just, hello, good morning, how are you? That's far as it goes.
They're very friendly.
Oh, yeah. Nothing ever happened, though. It's like a morgue. Yeah.
Well, that's not necessarily a bad thing, given all the trouble there is in the cities these days.
Oh, it's good
it?
Here. No, nothing, nothing ever happened.
Oh, don't say that. That's wood.
Yeah, touch wood. You've lived through some really quite interesting times, haven't you? Because you were brought up right during a depression. You grew up during one of the worst wars that this planet's ever seen, the Second World War. You've left your family, come to a strange country, made a new life for yourself, married, had a son. That's a lot of changes in one life.
It is, yeah. But
has it been a good life?
Yes. Here in Australia, I've never was out of work. Always had food on the table and roof over the head. And I think that's a lot.
So it's very, I can say with great confidence, there was never any regrets about coming to Australia.
No. Never regretted.
What do you think when you see on the television or read in the newspaper about the way people are reacting and treating the people that are coming in from Asia now as new migrants? Given that you are both migrants, you came in from other countries, do you feel that the country doesn't welcome as much as it did when you came?
When we come out here, it was European migrants, not Asians or... And that was...
You see, when I came out here, it was European only.
Yeah.
But over the period that you've lived in Australia, we've had people coming from all over the world.
All over the world, I don't care,
as long as they could.
I never took any notice of that. Yeah. They said it's multicultural or whatever they call it. And that's it.
A country like this is probably a lot richer for having so many nationalities. Would you agree?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Well, you don't think that having more culture and different foods
that's what's happened. Anyway, what has happened when we came here. All the restaurants and things went up, and there was different things altogether. People, you see, when we came down to the city, we went out dance one night. You ever heard of the dance hall?
The which?
Tocadero. Well, a big dance hall. Is,
big dance hall. Yeah. Oh, but dancing was very, was like almost every Australian did went dancing, didn't they?
But there's the girls sitting along the wall. It's,
of course. That's Australia.
We went there, asked for a dance, nobody would go dance with us.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, that was the only really disappointment.
Was that because of your nationality, or they just didn't...
Of New Australia. They New Australians. For nationality, just because New Australian, you know.
But, I think that experience was felt by everybody. I mean, the Greeks, the Italians.
Was, yeah, that was...
They all felt that.
It took a while before. Yeah, you see, we went... In King's Cross, in one shop, they would even serve us.
Goodness.
That was another reason. They were Jews. They had a delicatessen shop.
Okay, so that's a hangover from the war days.
I was Austrian. Get out of that bloody shop. You're German. I said, I'm Austrian. Oh, he was there. Oh, well.
How did you feel about that? Were you angry or did you understand?
No, I wasn't angry. I was just... I understood more or like it, but then I didn't think anything about it. They were right too, you know. They were angry. They came out as a survivor from the concentration camp.
And it wasn't pleasant.
Yeah.
No. Well, can I say to both of you, thank you very much for not only being on the program, but sharing what I think is a really interesting story of people that have come from another country and not just embraced this, but have become Australians. Mm. It's a wonderful way... To say to the world that yes, life here can be difficult, but not if you really work hard. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you both very much.
Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program. Listen to Older Voices is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Community Radio Network.